Good morning. I hope you have all risen this morning and woke up feeling fresh and refined, rejuvenated even. My wife and I, Ruth, we flew in to Vancouver on Tuesday, and I've never really been bad with jet lag, but this time around was something special. And we're still trying to get over it. But it's been lots of fun because we haven't had a lot to do, so we've been able to sleep when we want to sleep and so on. So that's been a blessing. But I want to give you greetings first from Japan. We've been there now for 2 years and still learning the ropes about what the culture is and what the language is and all of that. But we've been extremely thankful for the time so far, that regardless of the fact that we decided, or God decided, that we should get up and leave Thailand back in 2019 and slowly prepare ourselves for Japan at this age, changing countries, changing cultures. It's not the easiest thing to do. And especially language-wise, it's not the thing that anybody with common sense would want to do. But regardless of the challenges of language and culture, we've felt that we are exactly there where God wants us to be. And we have felt that this first 2 years has really been a blessing, where most of the time we wake up rejuvenated and we feel very happy to be in Japan. As I mentioned, we're still learning the language and culture. We're getting to know the church movement we're working with and helping where we can, and slowly kind of prayerfully going forwards in that which God would have for us in the next decades in Japan. And we have told people there and wherever we go that our kind of approach to going to a new country is kind of like a marathon. We didn't go there for a 100-meter sprint, and so we're looking to be there long term, and so we have no rush to run into something and make our lives hectic that would then somehow affect what God wants to be doing in the long term. Greetings also from Thailand. I was here in February, and I was preaching here in February, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but in between being here, I was actually in Thailand for 2 weeks, and it continues to be amazing, the little small seedlings that we planted way back in 2007 at a coffee table with Ruth and I, discussing what we could do in Bangkok in the urban demographic, and especially with university students. And that morphing into multiple partnerships, and seeing that now in February we had a facilitation for all of our core members of all of our core partners. And we had 26 people present, and we are all focusing on where we are now and what we're going towards in the future. And it was just such a joy to look at what God can do and how he can make that piece of the puzzle that we are into a brighter picture and a bigger picture as we form that puzzle made up of many pieces. And so things are really good in Bangkok. If you ever have a chance to go to Bangkok, please be in contact with me. I'd more than happily try to even have my time coincide with your time there, but otherwise have somebody to host you and show you around, see what's going on over there. But today, I have a message. And first question is, who was here in February when I was speaking? Okay. So you might remember, hopefully you do remember, I was talking about being a witness. And the idea that I had was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says that you will go into all the world and you will be a witness. And the focus that I wanted to bring was, as you can see from this picture, there's something that we are that impacts those who we're dealing with. So when we talk about being a witness, sometimes we think it's what we say, what I dare to say. I'm at the grocery store and there's a clerk and I dare to say, do you know Jesus? Hey, Jesus loves you. Do you know this? Do you know that? And we think about, like, what do I dare say? And somehow the Holy Spirit is all about me daring to say. And while it can be those things, and sometimes should be those things, the thing that the Holy Spirit wants to be doing the most in our lives is changing us so that what we are speaks to those around us. So that the love within us that's growing yearly and those people who are around us see it, are impacted by what we are and what we are becoming more than just what we are saying. Everybody remember that from last time? Great. So this being a witness, I tied it into Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22, and where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how if we look at our lives, we should be thinking about how are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit? How is the love in us growing? How is the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control growing as we age? The world says, I've been patient long enough. That's it. That's enough. Or in French in school, we used to say, ça suffit. That's enough. But the kingdom culture says, that was enough last year, but this year I'm going to be more patient. This year I'm going to have more self-control. This year I'm going to be more kind, more loving, more caring. And as I'm learning to be those things through the help of the Holy Spirit, those who are looking at my life can be impacted by it. So that when I have something to say, it carries weight. The other thing that I wanted to share before I go into the actual word today was, so you have this being part, right? And then we have this, what all of us have is a certain DNA, a certain personality, a certain temperament, which is in us. And everybody who knows Henry, you know what I'm like, right? I'm quite outgoing. I might be a little bit tense and a little bit nervous in certain situations, but as I open up, then I become very social. And my wife knows that very well. My family knows that very well, and people who have known me for a long time know that very well. I have a certain DNA, a certain personality, a certain temperament. And you have a certain DNA, a certain temperament, certain personality. And sometimes when we talk about changing to become more Christ-like, many like to take the words of John the Baptist who says, I should become less so that he should become more. Which is true. But what it doesn't mean is that which my personality is and my temperament is should somehow be done away with. That I should somehow become an empty shell. That which I was, when Christ comes and changes me, nobody will notice it's Henry anymore. And that's not what the Bible wants. I believe that us becoming more Christ-like equates to us becoming ourselves the way that God intended us to be. Together with the personality we have, with the temperament we have, the differences that we have, the skill set we have, that God wants us to come into our own in those things, but in a redeemed way. And Tim so succinctly put this morning this idea of delighting in the word of the Lord. And this is where the delight is difficult. Because God wants us to change. He doesn't want us to get rid of who we are, but he wants to redeem what we are. And so whether we've been a Christian for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, or for many decades, God says to us, I love you as you are, but I don't want you to remain as you are. I want you to go forwards. I want you to grow. And so it's that simultaneous acceptance of who we are, where we're at, in our challenges, in our weaknesses, our problems, but then at the same time, God's saying, let's move forwards. I want you to develop and be redeemed into those qualities that I have put in you. And that's sometimes difficult, because it's very easy to fall back on this idea, and you hear it all the time. Well, this is what I am. Take it or leave it. And, you know, there's some even words that have been said between relationships that if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best, right? And, you know, there's so many things in the world today, and even in the Christian world, that we kind of accept this idea that what I am is fine. I don't need to change. And it's not true. I need to change. You need to change. We need to change. So that the church that people see on a yearly basis is not the same. It's still got the Tims and the Jakes and the Noras. And they're still definable people. But they're changed people. Something is changing. So that all ties into what I want to talk about today. So what is it that we are that's being a witness to those around us? And how are we changing so that that witness that we are is impacting the people around us in a greater way? And then as we're changing, God gives us this amazing extra. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Paul writes to the Corinthians like this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So the Spirit is for us to change us from within, to give us the courage to change, to be a witness in deed and in word. But in addition to that, He gives us gifts to help us in that journey. So some thoughts that I want to share with you today about this. The first verse that I read, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. What is your gift? Paul doesn't write, a gift is given to some of us. He doesn't say, a gift is given to those leaders in the church. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. What is your gift? Or what are your gifts? It's the first question today. Can we look back on our lives and say, God has used me to speak a prophetic word to somebody? God has used me to give wisdom in a situation that seemed impossible? Can we say that God has used me in a moment where somebody was sick and I prayed and the person was healed? What is your gift? Secondly, do you use it or seek to use it? If you see that God has used you in a certain way, that you feel that there's a prophetic word that constantly comes and arises, do you seek to use it? Do you seek to find what that is in different moments? Are you sensitive to it? When I was sitting in the last pew in 1999, it was a September morning, Juha Pölkki was up here preaching, and he was finishing the sermon, and he was praying the closing prayer. And I was nodding off in the back seat. I had renewed my faith, and I had been thinking about going to Bible school, and my parents, of course, were very enthusiastic about me going to Finland, to which I said a very strong no. I had heard of some Eastern Finnish-Canadian young people who had gone to Australia, and I thought that the sunshine, the surfing, that sounds right. And so I was just contemplating this. I was sitting this Sunday morning in the back pew, nodding off, and I felt like God said two things to me. Henry, you should get baptized. And you should go to Finland to Bible school. And I was thinking, I don't know, maybe this was just a dream. I kind of nodded off, like literally, and I just had these thoughts come in my head, but might as well go talk to the pastor. So after the meeting, I made my way to the office on the side there. The door was ajar, and as I opened it, Juha was sitting at the desk, and he said, Henry, have you thought about getting baptized? And I hadn't said anything yet. That was a word in the moment that not only confirmed me getting baptized, but it changed my heart in a moment from wanting to go to Australia and not wanting to go to Finland to wanting to go to Finland. And from that moment when I stepped out of that office, there was no longer this hesitation, this being unsure, but I knew that I want to go to Finland. God wants to use the gifts within the church. He wants to use the gifts to help one another. Are we sensitive to be used and also seek that help within the church? When the gifts are given, no one receives all the gifts. No matter how spiritual mature you are, how great and wonderful you are, no wonder how big of a vessel you are, God will not put all the gifts in your life. Because we're the body of Christ. And what Paul writes in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and also in Romans chapter 12, talking about we are many parts, but we make up one body. The spiritual gifts are also distributed within that body because we need to be dependent on one another. When I had left here and I went to Finland, and it was 1999, so that was 1998, sorry, in the back pew. 1999, spring had come. I was in Finland, I was studying there, and I had this idea that I'm there for a semester, and that's it, one and done. And I started dating Ruth. But then I still had this problem. Like, I was like, I really like Ruth. But should I stay in Finland, or should I go back to Canada? And I was undecided. And I felt like, I don't know. And I prayed about it, and I talked with people about it, and I just didn't find rest. And just having a girlfriend in Finland wasn't enough to keep me there. Until one day, I went to the gym, and I unloaded to this one guy at the gym, and I was saying, you know, I have this problem because, you know, I'm dating Ruth, and, you know, Finland's great, but I really don't know if I should stay here. I was kind of set on being here one semester, and so on, and till he said to me, he goes, Henry, did God tell you to come to Finland for one semester, or did he tell you to come here to study? I said, he told me to study. Okay, then it's clear. You stay here until he tells you to go. And somebody else could have said that word in a different situation. It wouldn't have given the rest and peace. But it was one of those God moments where it's a word of knowledge, it's a word of wisdom that was spoken that gave me immediate rest. And I knew from that moment, it's not even a question. I know that I'm going to go back to Canada, work during the summer, and return to Finland and study and study and study. We need those people around us who can help us when we're undecided, when we're unsure, when we're scared, when we have problems. And if we allow others within the church to speak into our lives, if we're vulnerable to that, we can find that we're getting answers that we deeply, dearly need. And in addition to that, in you, God wants to give some answers to somebody else. Are we willing to be a part of a church where God wants to use me to give a word to somebody? Or to pray for somebody and see them healed? Secondly, Paul finishes this long list of spiritual gifts saying that it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Who should receive the gifts of healing? And you've noticed I've put in parentheses the S for gifts, because in Greek, actually, this is the only of the spiritual gifts where it's a plural, meaning that it's not one spiritual gift that you receive, but it's gifts, meaning that it's not just a gift you receive and then you go with that, but it has to be separate gifts that are coming. But who should receive those? We might think that, well, maybe the church board should decide. Maybe we should, you know, have a vote on who's the most spiritually mature in the church. Who should be the one to prophesy? Well, it shouldn't be Tim. But God alone decides. And unfortunately, it's humbling. Because maybe we want certain gifts, but God gives us something else. Are we happy with what we receive? Or do we look to the other and what they have received and grow jealous? Where should these gifts be used? On a Sunday morning, solely. If there's a prophetic word, it must be said from here. If there's a healing to take place, it should happen there. Where should these gifts be used? What about over a phone call during the week? What about in a small group setting? What about over coffee on a Friday morning? These gifts are made for the everyday that we walk with wherever we go, in whatever situations we might find ourselves. Finally, who should these gifts benefit? Paul starts by saying these gifts are given to help each other. And for sure, this means the church. But you know, the Gospel of John is interesting because it differs from all the other three Gospels. John, in the purpose of his writing his Gospel, he says in the 20th chapter that I have written all this so that you would believe. And as opposed to the three other Gospels where there's numerous miracles, John only writes seven. And he has a purpose in that. He writes them because he wants to show one by one how God is the Lord of ... He's the Lord of nature. He can calm the storm. He's the Lord over death. He can raise the dead. And there's seven miracles that all speak to God being the Lord of. And all these things John says he's written so that you would believe. So who should benefit from the gifts besides the church? What about your work friend who's struggling in life, who doesn't know left from right, or has like a really big problem that they can't figure out on their own? Would God want you to be a vessel of imparting a prophetic word into their life? Would God be using you to speak something that opens up their eyes to see? Would God use you to pray for them and they be healed? We see in the Gospels, when Jesus went around, what did he do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He spoke words of truth into people's lives that were lost. He uttered prophetic words. He uttered words of wisdom. He performed miracles. He performed gifts of healing. All the spiritual gifts. And it wasn't just to his followers. It was to anyone who was around him. So these spiritual gifts, they're not only for us, the church, to enjoy and take advantage of, but they're also for all those who would be in our life. I spoke in February about this hairdresser that we've gotten to know over the last couple years in Japan, who I frequent. And last time I was here, I was mentioning how I had a message in my line, which is kind of like WhatsApp in Asia. It's like the go-to application for Asians. And in that line app, you can always put like a slogan or whatever. And so I had put, life is a gift. And last year, I went to the hairdresser and I was sitting there, and it's always like a 3-hour ordeal because of the dyeing and the bleaching and all that. But hey, I'm Henry. That's what I am. Accept me for who I am. No, that's not how it goes. I spoke last time in February about how she took that one sentence that I had written into that like profile and said how life is a gift, and how she had been pregnant when she was 32 years old. And she had carried that baby to term, 9 months, but how the baby had died at birth, and how she was so sad, yet she felt that God had given her a gift of life to carry for 9 months, even though she couldn't see the baby as it was born. And it was a small word in my profile that spoke to her on a very deep level. So this month, I was at the hairdresser again, 2 weeks ago. And maybe a week ago. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. I'm getting old. But We were sitting there, and again, casually talking about this and that and whatever. And then out of the blue, she goes, "Do you believe that dreams can speak the future?" Because like, and then she starts saying that she believes in astrology and blah, 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 blah. And first when I heard it, I was thinking like, this sounds, like dreams speaking in the future. Until like it clicked. Wait a minute. The Bible is full of examples how God spoke in a dream. And so then I started sharing that actually, yes, I do believe that God can speak through a dream. And I started sharing some examples. And I said, you know, even in the New Testament, and I had to word this very carefully because I'm not speaking very good Japanese right now. And then I don't know what her understanding of the Bible is yet. So I have to kind of like make it simple so that you understand there's an Old and New Testament. Anyways, long story short, saying that even in the New Testament, it talks about the young seeing visions and the men dreaming dreams. And in the Old Testament, there's many examples where God spoke very directly about the future in dreams. And I shared about how Joseph was in jail and the Pharaoh had this dream and none of his wise men could figure it out. Until Joseph comes on the scene and God gives him not only the dream, but also the meaning. And then she was like, wow, this is so interesting. And so because of this, I was able to send the whole chapter that has this explanation of the dream to her from the Bible afterwards. And I felt like it was another one of those God moments where I myself was baffled for a moment, but I felt like the Holy Spirit helped me to revive my understanding, to move away from like, seeing dreams, I don't know, to like, wait a minute, and catching it in time, and then being able to encourage her through it. What if God wanted to manifest himself through these gifts more in our everyday lives? To those around us, in the church and outside of the church. What if God wanted to open locks to people's hearts around us through these gifts? It's interesting, we were at Jazz Vesper on Wednesday evening, last Wednesday, and the guy was talking about how music and spirituality, there's such a kind of resonance in that because music opens up channels that maybe just a simple word doesn't open up. And I was thinking about this in how arts in general can open up vantage points, perspectives that us just speaking wouldn't open. And I had a friend whose father passed away a month ago and he wrote a poem about it. And I was just talking with him last week and I was saying how it's amazing that you are able to draw a picture of your father using poetry that maybe 1,000 words of explaining all the details of what he's like, his ears and his head and whatever, wouldn't have drawn such a nice picture. And so the arts can play such a role in opening up people. Think about a prophetic word or a word of wisdom to somebody who has angst towards Jesus or towards Christians. And he's used to being faced with you, who he knows he is a Christian, and your own thoughts and logic and so on. But what if there's a word of wisdom in there, or a prophetic word, that all of a sudden goes past those obstacles and is like a key to opening up a lock? What if God wanted to do that more through us? And what if the supernatural was a bigger part of our everyday lives? Is it so far-fetched? And what does it look like? Sometimes we have an idea that supernatural is a lot of noise and a lot of feeling. But what if it's just that quiet moment on the bus, sitting beside somebody, where you strike up a conversation and it leads to something deep? What if it's sitting in a barber chair at a hairdresser and all of a sudden something clicks and something opens up? What if the supernatural were mostly seen in those moments of our everyday life? What if? These are the thoughts that I've thought to share with you today. And I hope that you're challenged, because I sure was. It's a challenge to be in a different culture and a different language, and to really stumble along with your language and not even being able to completely explain yourself to somebody or explain a thought to somebody. But sometimes it can also be easier than to be in that culture, in that place, in those surroundings that you're so used to. And you've already found your little piece in that hole. And to break out of it and go, let's look at things in a fresh way. Let's not look at tomorrow as just another Monday. Let's look at tomorrow as a day where God can work, even among those relationships that feel like they're already dead. Even among those people who you feel like they've closed the door so many times, they won't open it anymore. To renew our minds to look at things anew and to see the opportunities where maybe before we saw challenges, frustrations, and problems. I think God calls us to just that. And as we're learning to do that in Japan, I pray that you will continue to learn that here where you are placed, so that we can see God's kingdom spread into more and more hearts in this city, in Japan, and all around the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you that you died on the cross for all of our sins, past, present, future. You wiped it all out in one act. You redeemed us so that we could live a redeemed life and see this world redeemed. See those people around us redeemed. Come into a saving knowledge of you and learn to walk with you. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for the power of the Spirit to enable us to change and to move in our surroundings in a way that's sensitive to your Holy Spirit and willing to obey wherever he may lead. God, we ask for your blessing for this day. We ask for your blessing on this church. May it continue to be a beacon of light in this community, in this city, God. And Lord, let us learn to grow as a church, to depend more and more upon each other, and to see the beauty in the differences that we all have. Help us to learn to walk better together, even better in the future. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.